Run for cover. This is Radioactive Sports with superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson.
I'll take pride in my hair.
Feel that? Radioactive Sports in the afternoon on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
It was important for us to go there and get one game. Unfortunately, we couldn't get that second one, but we come back 1-1. We feel like we're in a good position. We feel like we played two good road games, and nothing's going to be given to us, but we're comfortable playing here, and we know we're going to have a good crowd, and I think we respond well to that.
See, that's kind of how you have to look at things. Like Mike Yo just explained it, you know, we're not going to have anything given to us, and they're not going to give anything to the Blues either, so... I mean, it's kind of like Gene Stallings used to tell us with the St. Louis Cardinals, Ben Holson. By the way, Radioactive Sports, superstar Mike Morris, Ben Holson here live at Tom Reed's in front of game number three, match number three, Minnesota Wild versus the St. Louis Blues. Coach Stallings used to say, we give no quarter, ask for no quarter. Remember that.
I will never forget that. Your voice sounds amazing today. What did
Thank
you do to it?
Thank you. It's... horse.
I like it.
It's ruined, and now, for whatever reason, I can't talk, so I sound like Marv Albert. Yes.
Yes.
And then are
I
you
fighting why.
Backs, too? Are you, what did he have? Was it like a hooker or something that he had in New York City?
I dressed, you know, like just like he did. Yeah. I put on the lingerie and stuff and sort of walked
right
around in that.
Do that, too.
Yeah.
What I found interesting driving down to St. Paul is everybody from the XL Energy Center to most of the bars, obviously the best bar here, Tom Reed's, has Let's Go Wild. It's a whole new season. It's playoff season. But then it's sponsored by Bud Light, St. Louis, Missouri. It's written down at the bottom. I'm like,
come on. Make up your mind. How are we doing this?
What's going on here, guys? But yeah, no, it's game three. It's a big one. Saturday was such a disappointment. Had some friends over, put some carcass on the grill. Had some local beers, some of my favorite local breweries, and then just was bored to tears. Saturday's game sucked.
I saw it too. I was sitting at a bar up in Duluth, Minnesota, and watching
just dominating.
Them just get their asses handed to them a little bit. I mean, it was just out of control quickly.
Yeah.
And they never really regained themselves, losing 4-1.
How about Vladimir Tarasenko, though? That guy, hat trick against us on Saturday.
No, he's something else.
So to add to the roughhousing by Backes and by
Steve Ott.
Where's TJ Oshie been? I mean, I don't want to see him explode, though, either. I mean, that's another part of the St. Louis Blues team that we haven't yet to see. This team is so good, and... I don't know. I think they're going to lose tonight, and I know you think they're going to win. You've already taken $10 from me. but my new thing is I'm never going to say the Wild are going to win ever again, because every time I say they're going to win, they lose. Every time I say they lose, they're going to lose, they win. So from now on out, from here on out, they're going to lose the rest of the games. Obviously, I don't want them to lose the rest of the games. I want them to win every single game, hoist the Stanley Cup at the end of the whole shebang here. But just for my own little... I don't know what's going on in my head. A lot of things are going on in my head, but no, they're going
to
lose.
We don't have to go into that.
No. That's a different show.
You know, I would say that we're a tough team. I mean, we're not going to come out of our game plan. I watched a lot of the guys being interviewed by our very own Jim Rich on his show yesterday, and talking with Palmville, and there were a couple of guys that he had on. They were interesting. They said, Parisi also, we're not coming out of our game. We're put together this way. They may be put together... the way you see it, they're rough. They're rough and tumble. They're intimidating. We're not worried about that. We are not. You know, Zucker even said we're not worried about that. It's not like we're going to run out of the building. They'd like to think they can run us out of the building, but we're not that way. So let's not worry about that. We're built for speed, and that's how we won the first game, and we just need to get back to doing more of that. But they were leaning in on us pretty good the second game. And
they came out firing with their checks. The second game, which is what they tried to do the first game back on Wednesday night. The Wild were just too fast for them to really for the Blues to catch. They got us pretty good there on Saturday, which was a bummer because I feel like we were falling into their trap a little bit. We can't talk to our lady Elizabeth Meineke today. She's lost her voice. She was cheering too loudly. So we can, thank God. I don't want to talk to her on a day after a
loss. Let's try and get her to come on anyway. I mean, if she sounds like me and she sounds like Marv Albert, then we're in business, right?
I guess.
She's a funny funny guy. Best. Every time we talk to her, she laughs. She laughs at what she says, which is kind of funny. But
I talk smack to her, and she thinks it's funny.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, we've got some people we can talk smack with about the Blues. He'll help us with talking smack. Tom Reed will join us here later on in just a bit. Four and a half questions. So we can go through four and a half questions. And I guess you're locked and loaded with some Minnesota Wild and props.
Radioactive Sports in the Afternoon on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Okay, we are back. So we were talking about the Minnesota Twins, even though the Wild goal-scoring song is on. We'll talk to Tom Reed coming up here in just a little bit. We're at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub before the big Minnesota Wild game. Game 3, Stanley Cup playoffs, round 1, St. Louis Blues. But we were talking about the Minnesota Twins, and not only did the Minnesota Twins happen this weekend, taking 2 out of 3 from the Cleveland Indians, a couple of football things have come to fruition. Tim Tebow.
Tim Tebow got signed to get to a one-year deal with Philadelphia.
Back in the
league. Let's see now. Can Philadelphia do anything more ridiculous than they have? Yeah. Go out and sign Tim Tebow to a one-year deal.
But here's the deal. Tim Tebow is a gamer. Tim Tebow is a guy I want on my football team, but not necessarily with Teddy Bridgewater and then having fans ask for Tim Tebow when we've got a Teddy Bridgewater bit going on here. But for a team that doesn't have a quarterback situation, why not? Why not put him out there? It creates some fan excitement. There's a lot of backlash, I think, by what Chip Kelly was doing to the Philadelphia Eagles, trading LeSean McCoy last season. LeSean McCoy this season, DeSean Jackson last season.
Right.
That trade, Nick Foles, bringing in Sam Bradford, re-signing Mark Sanchez.
That's what I don't know. So Tim Tebow, huh? But Bradford, Sanchez, Tim Tebow.
And then also still wanting and having the hankering to trade up to get Marcus Mariota.
Yeah.
What's going on here?
Just to add to the mix that Chip Kelly has started for himself, I don't know what's going on. I don't think anyone really does. Except for the Eagles? I think he and the Eagles must have some sort of game plan to devise to package something and get Mariota in there with them. Foles was a pretty good quarterback. Nick Foles was a pretty good quarterback. And I don't know why they passed that off so soon and so quickly. I know he had some injury issues, but to work that down into St. Louis with the trade for Sam Bradford is just, it makes no sense to me whatsoever.
I think St. Louis got a heck of a deal in that situation, got out from underneath the massive amount of money that they owe Sam Bradford. And he constantly injured with some sort of knee. He'd play like a game or two and then be gone. I mean, last year he was gone for the entire season. That's happened several times before. If I was the St. Louis Rams, I'd start all over again and say, woo, with Nick Foles.
I would too. I really would. I think that probably if Chip Kelly was wise, and we think that he's had some communication even before the Sam Bradford trade, was that he had something going on with another team, that if he could acquire the services of Sam Bradford, that he would make them a swinging deal for some draft choices, using Sam Bradford as that poker chip.
Cleveland Browns.
And the Cleveland Browns was that team, and we'll see how this thing works out. But maybe in the big scheme of things, Chip Kelly's got this thing right where he wants it. Who knows?
Maybe he does. Yeah, you don't know what he's has. I mean, he's got total control, so you have no idea what kind of conversations he's having. But supposedly, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, Sam Bradford and Sam Bradford and something else for first-round draft
pick. Yeah, it was
Cleveland Browns and Johnny Manziel, who, by the way, is back with the Cleveland Browns as of Friday.
Yep. Well, he apologized to everyone again, and he said all the right things. And I want to apologize to my teammates, to the organization, to my fans. I need to earn my respect, and you do that by putting your actions out there in the field and not talking about it. So he's gone ahead and said the right things. If he'll just follow through, I don't think he's a quarterback of the – I don't think he's a franchise quarterback. Maybe he can play – as a backup quarterback, I don't see him really making a big in this league as a quarterback, and that's just my feeling.
Can you imagine if the Minnesota Vikings drafted Johnny Manziel? There was a huge contingent of Minnesota Vikings fans that wanted Johnny Manziel.
Yeah.
And I had to tell, I mean, there were friends, there were family members. We do the sports radio show. There were people calling in saying all the time, we've got to draft Johnny Manziel. And I would say, are you nuts?
Yeah.
It's a sideshow. Why do you want? Well, it's exciting. So Brett Favre was a side. No, it's a different kind of sideshow. And thank God that's not on the Minnesota Vikings, because that's just ridiculous.
Well, I mean, it would have been the kind of thing where you would have been crying in your in your milk again over a quarterback that you were designating as your franchise guy. We went through that once, and I'm not saying that Ponder was handled right, was coached correctly. I think his confidence was affected greatly by the way we coached him. I don't know what's going to happen in Oakland with Del Rio and that bunch, but I can tell you this.
He's not going to overtake your guy Derek Carr. He's the quarterback of the future.
I think so, too. I think they have a nice 1-2 punch if they can get Ponder to be remotely what we thought he might be coming out of Florida State. But
Ponder's a great practice quarterback. He always excels in practice.
I think you're right.
He can run a scout team. But when it comes to real-time game situations, when he's out there playing for keeps, for reals, just awful.
I agree. He had his moments. I think we all thought he had his moments and was actually coming around full circle, and then he would self-destruct again. Maybe he's good as a backup. Maybe knowing that the pressure's off, he comes in as a backup only and then lets the starter come back to his usual position if that were the case, and then he resumes being a backup. Well, maybe that's the maybe that's the kind of guy he is.
Yeah, but remember when he played against the Green Bay Packers as a backup? That was last year.
Awful. Well, he was thrown into the mix with no one healthy at all, and, I mean, he had no chance. Everyone went down in front of him overnight.
Teddy did just fine.
Yeah.
A rookie quarterback. Just fine.
Well, yeah, kind of.
Took him a couple of games to warm up, but it was the first games he played in the NFL. It was unbelievable.
You have to understand that he and Castle were getting all the reps, and that I guarantee you Ponder was not getting any reps when he, in practice, no reps. None.
Don't want him to have any reps.
Well, that's why he played so poorly when he came in.
And then one more quick thing before we have to skedaddle here for Tom Reed, but we'll talk about all that stuff, obviously, coming up the rest of the show. Reports and rumors are that the Minnesota Vikings want a first-round draft pick and a starting cornerback if they do trade Adrian Peterson. There's an article at 105theticket.com from, I believe it's Chris Shad from our Cold Omaha writing team. A great writer, a great interesting article saying that he thinks that Morris Claiborne might be the holdup in the trade with the Dallas Cowboys. Would you take their 27th overall pick, Morris Claiborne, who's okay? Would you take that for Adrian Peterson?
We still have our 11th.
11th, 27th,
27th.
And Claiborne.
Yeah, I would take that.
I think that's
what you would take in return. I don't think that's the right team to place him with, though.
I know.
I definitely don't like that.
I know you.
I don't like
that.
Anything to do with trading a strong, you know, player to the Dallas Cowboys to make them better instantly. He will do that if he can get back on the field, and I know he will.
They become
but in return, that's
favorite.
A good. But in return, that is a pretty good exchange in value for a guy like him, like Peterson. There's a number that guy and the number 27 first rounder. Yeah, that's a pretty nice trade.
Then you don't have to you don't have to take Trey Waynes at number 11 or Peters back at number 27. You can focus on the left guard spot and the middle linebacker spot or safety or whatever it is that the Minnesota Vikings want to go after right away in that first.
I think it's good
first round. So
you
have
those first two first round picks.
Yeah, and then to pick right away again in the second round.
And get a big time running, Gurley or Gordon. And by the way, been looking at a lot of film and a lot of different things, Googling this, Googling that, NFL Network this and that. Between Gurley when he's healthy,
yeah.
Gordon when he's playing healthy and playing well, Gordon.
Really?
Oh, my God.
Really?
Let me something right now.
Let's talk about that a little bit later because we have to take a break. But I want to say,
just tell you something.
Because when Gurley's healthy, he reminds me of Adrian Peterson.
Yeah,
he's the guy that I want.
Yeah, he's a great running back. But let me just say this. The biggest, the same thing that happened to me with Bridgewater last year just happened again two nights ago.
With
Gordon.
Gordon.
Oh, man, I'm telling you what. We'll come back and talk the talk with Tom Reed. This is, after all, his establishment. We are being brought to you today. Ticket Tuesday at Tom Reed's.
Even though it's Monday.
Even though
it used to be Ticket Tuesday. Though,
it used to be so, but we're down here. It's playoffs, everyone. Just bear with me. Okay, but we're brought to you at Tom Reed's by Rogoszewski, and Atkins, criminal defense attorneys. So before you blow, just call Rogo. Come on back. Tom Reed, next.
We cut our teeth. We took our knocks in the penalty box. Tom Reed was the referee.
I love this song. I could sing this for the rest of my life.
If I was a referee, we'd have more power plays.
We are the We are Radioactive Sports. We're down at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub, brought to you by Rogaszewski, Rogaszewski and Atkins, criminal defense attorneys. Before you blow, call Rogo. Tom Reed, game three here in town. They're back home. St. Louis Blues, they won the second one. They pretty much did us in 4-1. We took a pretty good drubbing. They had it more their way, more their style, I guess, more of that thumping and checking. I think that you said earlier when we were speaking to you that we actually skated pretty well, but things just didn't go our way. What do you expect tonight?
Yeah, Mike, I thought we were the better team for the most part of that game. Wow. I thought the first period especially we held our own. Didn't get the luck that we were looking for, obviously, and our guys battled them. They were touted to be a strong physical team. We matched them hit for hit in that hockey game. So we did the same thing back to them. We got better in the second period, and I thought we outplayed them in the third period. We just weren't able to put it in. And that save by David Backes as the puck was going into the net, was able to get it off the goal line and take it away. But
Minnesota,
they have to feel good. Yeah. They have to feel good about how they played there. And they did, certainly being on the aircraft afterwards, the guys are pretty pumped up about how they played. They didn't win the game, but they played well enough. And coming back here now with a hometown, hopefully it will be a plus for them.
But do you think that the Minnesota Wild should play stick to playing their game instead of worrying about hitting the St. Louis Blues? The Wild, in my opinion, they're a smaller team. They're not as aggressive when it comes to checking and being just a butthead like Steve Ottis and Backes and some of the other guys, Reeves. Play their quick, fast game. Have the Blues try and catch them like they did in the first game instead of getting involved with all that hitting.
I don't think they really got involved in their game. They did their own game, but they did what they had to do. A straight line rushes into the offensive zone. Good, strong forecheck. They used the body when they had the opportunity to do so. They didn't go out there. Minnesota did not go there with the idea we're going to knock them all over the ice. They did not do that. I think the starting lineup by St. Louis kind of told you what they were going to do because they had Reeves on the front end on the front end of that, and Backes out there as well. And they played their game, and that's what got them to the NHL, and that's how they're going to play. But I thought Minnesota, for the most part, didn't succumb to their game. They played their own game, and hopefully now with a home ice advantage and having that last player change, you can match lines a little better, that they'll be a better team here tonight.
Would you say that that we played or had it our way more so in the first game with speed and with the passing and the things that we do well? Was that the case more so in the first game, and was St. Louis not sharp, or why did we have their number that particular game?
I think that St. Louis took us a little bit lightly in that first game.
Wow.
I don't think they were quite engaged as they were in the second game. Disappointed after that first game, and that certainly showed in game number two. They had another 40 hours to think about what they had to do after losing that first game. Minnesota went out in the first game and did exactly what they had to do. We're going to see a couple lineup changes tonight. Matt Cook will come out, Schrader will come out. You put back in Bergenheim and you put in Fontaine. Those two guys played in the first game, Minnesota won. So those are two guys that can get some points for you. They have some speed. They have some, with Bergenheim, he's a good body along the wall. In 24 playoff games, he's picked up 12 goals in that stretch. So he's a guy who can put the puck in that as well, play the defensive part of the game.
Coming down the stretch here at the end of the regular season, the Minnesota Wild had won 12 in a row on the road. And weren't so hot here at the XL Energy Center.
Right.
Last year, through our playoff run, they won, it was five games, right?
Five out of six, right.
Five out of six games here at home. They were just a tough team to play here at the XL Energy Center. That seems to have shifted just a little bit, but do you expect that to just go right back into home ice advantage tonight against the Blues with the home crowd going to be just rabid?
Yeah, I think it will, Ben. I think the thing is that this crowd is going to be really pumped up. I was over there this morning. You've got the white towels and all the seats, and they're going to be
waving.
Look at
it's 4 o'clock.
Towels.
Look at your bar. It's just packed.
It's already full.
I was getting off on Kellogg here from 94, and the cars are already lined up. People are in it to win it tonight.
They are. Well, they're pumped up because it's, you know what? The Wild have earned that right because of the way they have played this year. Minnesota actually has a better road record than a home record. Yep. They both have 50 points on the year, 50 at home, 50 on the road. But they've got 24 wins on the road, 22 at home. So they're comfortable, certainly, on the road. But they have to improve the home record. As of late, it hasn't been quite as good. But I think you'll see a big change here. The playoffs are a totally different animal.
It's totally different.
No different than your game when
totally
you play
different.
Football. You get into that, boy, you are pumped up. From the time you get up in the morning, that's all you're thinking about is that game. You can't wait to get that game going.
That's so true. I mean, the electricity is on.
Yep.
And they dial it way up. And I mean, the cameras come out, the satellite trucks come out, and the national interviews are there for practice. And people step up that normally don't step up. They just feel the energy in their game, and they step up and start making plays that really you weren't counting on them to make. Who is that going to be? Who is that player? Who could that be for the Wild? Who's going to step it up and be that diamond in the rough for us tonight or maybe the series going on?
You know, Mike, there's a number of players that could do that, starting with Jason Zucker, how good he has been, you know, in the last few games. You know, he was out all that time with the shoulder problem, of course, and back into it now, and he's picked up, I think, 4 goals in the last 5 games that he has played, so he's been very, very good for Minnesota. But you've got good speed up front. I like our forwards. Tarasenko on the other side scares me. Steen's a good hockey player. I mean, you've got some good, pretty skilled guys on the other side, too, but I look at our lineup, and with Parisi and with Fontaine with the speed, even though he's on the fourth line. I mean, and Charlie Coyle has been terrific. Niederreiter has really stepped up. So, and that's what you have to have going to playoffs if you want to advance.
We're talking to Tom Reed at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub before the Minnesota Wild host the St. Louis Blues, Game 3, Round 1 of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Any chance that Yo will mirror Tarasenko? With I think it was it Eric Halla who did it last year against McKinnon for the Colorado Avalanche.
Yeah.
I mean, scoring a hat trick, that guy was just, he was on fire on Saturday.
Yeah, he was. In the first game also, he had 6 attempts for shots, but he never got a shot on net. So the guys did a pretty good job of blocking the shots or forcing him to shoot wide of the net. But on Saturday, he had an up game. There's no question. He's a skilled player. He's out of Russia. Had the hat trick, of course, the other night. Had an assist in the first game also. So he got 4 points already, but he sees the ice well. He's quick. He can go. His lateral movement is terrific. Got a good shot. He got a lucky goal on the power play goal. There's no question of that. That's hat trick. Yeah. That was one of the goals. The other goal was the empty net goal. But he got it. Yeah. So he gets 2 of those goals. You know, you look at him. But he has a skill certainly they have to contend with.
Devin Dubnyk. I was beaming about him before. We were having lunch here at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub and enjoying a conversation with the best dressed man in St. Paul, Tom Reed. you know, Dubnyk. For me, well, he's a character. He's a cult hero almost in this town already. He cracked Steve Ott in the back of the hamstrings with his stick a couple times, let him know he's a little too deep into his zone. And coming from a guy that was sitting last year for the most part, sitting on the bench in Phoenix with the Coyotes, he has established himself, has he not?
Yeah, he really has. Now it's got to continue. How good will he be in the playoffs going the rest of the way? We don't know that. Hopefully it'll be good because obviously he's playing for a new contract because he's an unrestricted free agent at the end of this year. So he's got to play well. But he did. And that's one of those players. And that plays his role perfectly. I mean, he's an agitator. But we can't afford to have our best players get in the penalty box with Steve Ott. I mean, Steve Ott is not going to get you a lot of points. But what he will do is draw some penalties by just being aggressive and just being nasty out there. But rubbing, Zucker's head with his hand. Are you kidding? Call an unsportsmanlike penalty against. Do something, but don't allow it, and don't allow him to take our best players out of the realm of things. But at the same time, I think Doobie just letting him know that get out of my space here. He gave him a couple pretty good cracks too. But I think the referee saw and said, you know what, you deserved it for being there.
Another thing too is he's such a character. This odd guy is that he knew and he looked over and knew that it was Dubnyk that had done it. He turned around and started punching Dumba, I believe. He just turned and swung on Dumba, and he just, that was funny. Like, I'm going to swing at somebody. I don't know. That hurt. Whatever that was, I guess Dumba's going to have to play for Dubnyk's shot. But that was, I thought that, well, that's who he is.
There's not much protection in the back of the legs there. And those goalie sticks aren't, they're pretty heavy.
He just put the back side, the low side, right across. That was pretty funny.
Not once, but twice.
I'd make sure, just to make sure, for good measure. This is something. Your thoughts on Coach Yo and the way he's handled this and some of the line changes. Is he overdoing it? Is he doing it just right?
No, he's doing exactly what he has to do. He learned an awful lot last year. So I think at the same time right now that he's ready to go. He was pumped up this morning. He was really happy on the airplane the other night. Even though he lost the game, he felt that they played really well.
Yeah, I was surprised at his reaction to game two. He said there are a lot of things that you can take out of game two, what we did. I like what we did. Or this Coach Yo saying he liked what they did in game two. Yeah. You and I were talking about this before we got on the air here. It seems like every single time the Wild allow the first goal, the game, you might as well turn it off because they're going to lose. It's just
That's not true.
I know you got to walk, but it seems that way I'm watching the game. Yeah. So that first goal is just so important, and hopefully we slam it home tonight.
Yeah, you're right, Ben. And especially in that first game because it was an early goal, it just kind of took the life out of the St. Louis Blues. They didn't expect that, and you could just feel the air come out of their bench, and with that, it really pumped up Minnesota. So hopefully that will be the case. If they get that first goal tonight, once that roof will be coming up.
I agree with you.
I'll be singing
one.
That song that we brought you into. I'll be singing it at my house, but you'll be able to hear me down here in St. Paul.
Tom Reedy, thank you very much for your time. You got a great place here. Come on down. The Hockey City Pub is the place to be. The food is great. The beverage is great. The people are great. And the match across the street is going to be pretty great. So stop on by Tom Reed's and say hello to the Radioactive Sports crew. And we'd be glad to talk to you and chirp with you a little bit during breaks. We're going to take a little break right now. As a matter of fact, come back with 4.5 questions right after this.
It's huge. It helps us a ton. Hearing those fans going crazy and the building's going to be going nuts. I think we're really excited about that. So it really helps us throughout the course of the game, ups and downs. And, you know, I know they'll be behind us, and that's exciting.
Welcome one, welcome all. Radioactive Sports live from Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub, brought to you by Rogoszewski, and Atkins. We're in for a big one tonight. I mean, if you want to talk about a scrum down, a real mix-up, we got one going on over here at the Xcel Energy Center, and they're going to drop the puck now, and we're going to get after it a little bit. Steve bought that.
My favorite part about being at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub, you and I were grabbing a little lunch before the show started, and ever since then as well, anybody walks in with Blues gear on, even like a Blues hat, it just boom.
Yeah.
It is, like I said, rabid boisterous fans.
Well, they were saying blue, though, weren't they?
No,
blue.
No, they weren't saying blue. I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
I think is what they were saying.
I think so. I think you're right.
But
it's an interesting crowd already, and a big one at that. They've already filled this place up, and the people in Minnesota love their hockey. They are into it. There's every jersey walking around, Dubnyk and Coyle and Zucker and Parisi, you name it. So we're pretty well represented in apparel down here as well. Even some old North Star stuff floating around here, too.
Yeah, at some point, we should talk about jerseys, because I have I've changed my thought process on jerseys. I'm wearing a sweater right now.
I'm wearing a
Minnesota Wild sweater, but I don't have a name on the back, because this guy right here with the Dubnyk, I guarantee Dubnyk is the best player the Minnesota Wild have, the MVP of the season, in my opinion. 1 year contract. What happens if he leaves? A guy just spent $150 on that thing.
Well, you just take it down to the seamstress who sewed on the numbers and say, can you remove
the
nameplate and maybe at least one number? Anyway,
I mean, I was stuck wearing a Dante Culpepper jersey for a little while, and when they leave, I retire them. I put them back in my memory box and move on. But 4.5 questions. You ready for this?
Yep. Let's go.
4.5 questions. The Wild, to me, they look like a completely different team. Tom Reed just told us that he didn't think that they were necessarily on Saturday, that they played pretty well. But I'm never going to bet you money that the Wild will ever win again. I bet you money on Friday saying that I thought the Wild would win on Saturday. Every time I bet you that they're going to lose, they win. Every time I bet you that the Wild will win, they lose. So I want to apologize to Wild Nation. It's a bit of a reverse psychology, but hey, it works for me. So $5, the Wild lose tonight. Wink, wink, wink. Will you take that bet?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was coming in here with the idea that I would bet you that they were going to win tonight. That was my feeling, and I stand by that. So, yeah, we're good for five. Now, tomorrow, when you say the Wild won't win, I don't know if I'm going to say the Wild are going to win, though. So we may not, bet, because I'm going to have to bet what I really think is going to happen.
That's the thing, is because normally when we bet, you and I, it works out pretty good. I mean, we're pretty decent back and forth, but these Wild playoff games, sometimes you don't think that they're going to win when I think that they're going to win, and that's why. So, I don't know, man. I think it might be you screwing this whole thing up instead of me.
No, I'm not. I'm not trying to screw up anyone's aura. I just know from being a player that, you know, you just kind of feel for what a club is going to do before they go down there. They know they're going to put their best game out there when they go down to St. Louis to start the series, and they're going to have to skate hard and prove to themselves they can beat them again at their place and establish themselves on the road again in St. Louis. Well, they did do that. Then I'm thinking, well, St. Louis isn't going to have that anymore. I mean, they're not going to just let people come in there and take two games from them. They're going to skate their ass off and give us, you know, put the boots to us a little bit, which they did.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen tonight, though.
But imagine they go back 3-1. Wouldn't that be awesome? That'd be such fun talking smack to Elizabeth Meineke, or the beat reporter for the Blues down in St. Louis, because that's what we have to do. We have to smack talk. Question two, 4.5 questions. Today marks the first day that the Vikings' voluntary workout sessions at Winter Park. Adrian Peterson, obviously a no-show. His participation during these events have been sporadic during his eight-year NFL career. He did show up last year because a new coach at the time, Mike Zimmer, asked him if he kindly, you know, would show up and please be there. Talk is heating up, though, whether he'll be traded or stay with the team. If the Vikings decide to keep him, will he show up for mandatory workouts or be fined around $250,000 for sitting out? Just before we came down here today, Adrian Peterson, it was a tweet from Bleacher Report saying that Adrian Peterson, did you get it on your phone too? He'd stay with the Minnesota Vikings if they guaranteed most of the money for the remaining 3 years, which obviously is probably not going to happen. If Adrian is a Viking this year but decides to skip workouts and training camp, how much damage would it do to this team? Or is it just like what the team was used to last year with AP on the commissioner's exempt list? Is it really going to be that big of a headache?
They've faced this this kind of thing before where he's not there for him. Would he really want to be that guy again? After what happened last year, would Adrian Peterson really want to be the guy that's not there for his teammates again and just being all about Adrian and this is my deal, not your deal? No, it is your teammates' deal when you sit out and you're the main guy that they protect all the way through training camp. Everyone else has to hit but you. You don't have to hit. You don't have to play in the exhibition games. Everyone else does. That's a double standard right there, but they are that good to him knowing he's an aging running back. Well, if he does it again, and this time it's just because, I know he trains for the most part down in Texas anyway, but for the stuff that he has to be here for, be there for the mandatory stuff for your teammates because you're not above it all. You're not bigger than the program.
But he's the guy. He's the kind of guy that wants to play in the preseason. It's the team that doesn't want him to play because he's been everything to the offense for the past, well, almost eight years since he's been here, that 1 year barring Brett Favre, but certainly helped that offense when Brett Favre was a quarterback. I just don't know that it necessarily hurts, and that's one thing that I want to talk to you about at some point when we can have a little bit more time. Being in that team atmosphere in training camp down in Mankato, how much is it going to hurt when all the reporters are asking about where's Adrian Peterson, how are you doing with Adrian Peterson? But they're used to that. I mean, that happened every single game last year. So how much different really could it be?
I don't think it's going to be that much different. They certainly are accustomed to it. To go right back to it and to start all over again, kind of where you left off, is not that big a deal. It's just that after about one or two more questions, I think it would have to stop for me. Like, I've already answered that one, and that's it for me.
But that's your right to do as a player.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And they should all do that because it's not about him. He's not here.
Yeah.
We can only go out there and win or lose, and this season will only be wins and losses by this club that is here. We're only as good as the guys in the room right here.
And coming up next, after 4.5 questions, we'll talk about Adrian Peterson and the recent reports from sources saying that the Vikings want a first-round draft pick and a starting cornerback. We'll talk about that coming up next. Third question in 4.5. The Twins took 2 out of 3 from the Cleveland Indians over the weekend, winning their second straight home series. 5-7 record, good for third place in the Central. Did coming home to Target Field fix everything that ailed this franchise, or is there more to it than that?
No, I really believe they were just out of sync, completely out of sync. Didn't really know who they were yet. Didn't really have hadn't faced the true pressure of a regular season game in this new lineup and the different, the order of the lineup. Molitor adjusted that, and it seems to have been a pretty good fix-up. They're hitting the ball well. They're driving in a lot of runs. The pitching's been pretty good, not bad, since they got back home. And so I kind of want to just give them the benefit of the doubt of having a really, really bad, slow start.
Yeah, it's the very similar team, same players. But the more and more that I'm watching the games, and especially through this weekend and the games at Target Field, we went to the Kansas City Royal game on Thursday, being down at the office, Pub and Grill, down the street from Target Field on Friday, watching all these games. The team is different. Same players, but they're starting to get that swagger, that kind of an a-hole swagger.
Yeah, that's what you need, though.
That Paul Molitor.
You got to have that.
Paul Molitor's instilling in this team, and they have a long way to go yet, but it's fun to watch the maturation process and just the taking on Paul Molitor's persona. Question four, the Wolves haven't been in the playoffs in a really, 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 really long time. So this year's nothing new, but with the NBA playoffs now underway, do you have any desire to watch any of the matchups? I love LeBron James, and the past 4 years, I would watch the Miami Heat almost every single game.
Mm-hmm.
Dwayne Wade and and Chris Bosh, I hate that guy. But now that he's back with the Cleveland Cavaliers, you'd think that I would have renewed interest in watching that too. But I can't take Kevin Love and his whiny little bitchy attitude. Am I wrong for hating Kevin Love? Do I need to let it go? Do you care about these playoffs, the NBA playoffs at all? I mean, what's your thought process on all of
this? Love basketball. I really do. I follow the basketball playoffs. We're never anywhere near it, so for me to love basketball playoffs, it's basically who I've been the whole time, uh-huh. because we're never in it to actually be a Timberwolves fan in the playoffs. It's fun to watch the Cavaliers. I'm with you on that one. I think it's fun when you can watch Kevin Love not be used the way he wants to be used. Watch LeBron James and Kyrie just tear it up and blow everything up around him and win games without him, basically. He's just this bit player, barely. And I think it's funny. I think it's funny that he got dealt off like that. I know, and you know, that he thought he was going to be a big piece of the puzzle. He's not. And I don't know if that's home for him or not anymore.
No, God, he's going to be out of there. You know he's out of there as soon as the season starts.
And that's one of the reasons I'm watching this right now. That's one of the reasons I'll watch Cleveland all the way through, not only to watch him win and dominate, but to watch him not get used and be a bit player is kind of funny for me.
He's still averaging double-doubles, though, man. I mean,
yeah,
he's still a good player.
He's a good player.
But I just had it's just my gag reflex. It makes me want to just vomit all over my living room when I'm watching the games.
The chemistry and the body language between Kevin Love and those other guys on the team, you can see it.
It was so funny because we talk about this all the time where Kevin Love was asked who he thinks should be the MVP of the league, and I think he said Russell Westbrook or something like that LeBron James on his team. And LeBron James was asked last week, and you and I talked about it in Sillier Side of Sports, LeBron James was asked, who do you think should be the MVP of the league? And he said Kevin Love.
When King James goes downtown banging on you like that, you have to stand there and say to yourself, what the hell did I just do? Why did I come here?
LeBron, you know, wants him off the team, too. No, I don't think anybody... Kevin Love doesn't want to be on the team. LeBron doesn't want him on the team. And so it'll be interesting to see if they do some sign and trade or get another superstar in there a la to take Kevin Love's place. But, yeah.
I think he's expendable.
Max.
I think they're finding that he's expendable. I mean, they can replace him.
But they want that guy that can spread the floor and can grab rebounds.
And that's what he does.
They want everything Kevin Love is supposed to be.
I like that they use him to open the floor up for the other two guys to score.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's fantastic.
He's a speed bump.
4.5 questions. Here's the halfie. We'll talk about the Minnesota Vikings trading Adrian Peterson. Now the reports are that they want a first-round draft pick and a cornerback. Morris Claiborne, first-round draft pick, Dallas Cowboys, 27th overall. That's what our guy Chris Shad wrote about at 105theticket.com, part of our Cold Omaha writing team. What's one word now that that's coming out that the Vikings, if they are going to trade Adrian Peterson, want a first-round draft pick and a starting quarterback?
That's what they should get. They should get a number one for him. I don't know, that's asking for an awful lot when you're asking for a starting player that still has some years left on his career that is a legit player. To ask for that in a first-round draft choice, that's a big deal. Did we think that was going to be the case to trade LeBron? Or why did I say that? To trade Adrian? Yeah. I don't think anyone did. The report was a fourth-round draft choice was as good as you were going to do. I don't think so. Yeah. But regardless, it'll be fun to see. And I'll say, for that scenario to take place, hopeful. I'll say hopeful. I'll take it. God, does it have to be Dallas, though? I'd give anything if it was anyone else but Dallas that we would make a deal like that with. Huh. But anyway, that's kind of how I